Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this snowy Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is being careful out there. We are seeing some reports of some car collisions out there, some wrecks out there. So hope everybody's being as careful as possible. I know there's a situation right now on 40 over by Briley Parkway with a multi-vehicle crash and blocking the left lane in that area of town as well. So make sure you're being as careful as possible out there as long as you're having to be on the roads. And if you don't have to be on the roads, be a good day to probably not be on the roads out there. As always, we'll try to keep you as updated as we can with developing traffic situations that are going on here as well. Taking your thoughts as always on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Matthew from Paris on the text line says, Joe, come on, man. When Robbie asks you about your burner account, you have to use the usual line. I can neither confirm nor deny.
Well, I could be totally lying right now. You don't know. maybe my strong denials, you know, because I don't want you to find my web, my network of burners. You never
know. Joe's got a great poker face. You never know what's quite going on over there.
Yeah. Poker face. That's what it is.
Oh, man.
It's like a go fish face. By the way, I just want to give some, and this is in all seriousness, advice. First of all, yeah, like don't be on the roads if you don't have to. I wouldn't be, except I do have to because I'm dumb because I went to Knoxville yesterday. But don't use your brakes. That's the number one driving in winter weather advice I can give in general. And sometimes, obviously, you can't help but to use your brakes. But do everything you can to avoid hitting your brakes in this stuff. I mean, that's the best I can give you. Mostly, don't drive in it.
I never knew that. So, thank you, Joe.
Well, it's like the sudden starts and the sudden stops, typically speaking, don't work out very well in the snow. That's my Nashville growing up and living here for 30 years version of what I can tell you.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the thing is, obviously, I spent a lot of my life in the north, so I'm used to this stuff, but what I'm used to is when snow starts falling like this, the trucks are all over the place and the salt is on the roads immediately because, you know, up there you've got to, that's got to be part of your investment
right
in communities to have that. We don't have that here. So we just have to, you know, just be careful, but also you don't need to buy a month's worth of groceries for two bad days. But oh well, if you did, you've done it already. Do not let that milk go to waste.
Glennon, I'm coming over for dinner.
Yeah, John, prepare yourself. Tyler from Berry Hill texts again, says, Joe, as someone that has made the drive from Knoxville to Nashville in the snow before, it's going to take a long time. So you may want to replace the phone charger and grab some provisions in case you get stuck for a little while. Stuck due to traffic, not due to an inability to drive, just for clarification's sake.
Thank you for the tip. Yeah, I'm just going to take my time, take it slow. You know, maybe the idea of getting behind a plow is not a terrible idea.
20 miles an hour. Got a texter that says, Joe hasn't had any complaints about the officiating last night for the Tennessee game. Is he feeling okay?
Well, believe me, I had some issues, but it's just the typical college. this is apart from individual officials, just the way that clearly they just they're pretty consistent in going for every flop. A lot, you know, actually I'll give the officials credit last night. You know, from up close, John Fulkerson, as we all know, John Fulkerson's a flopper, okay? He's a heck of a player. He's a terrific personality. He's a flopper. He tried, I'd say, a good three times where there was a little bit of contact and he just threw himself on the floor. And I'll give the officials credit for not biting on that. Because sometimes they do, and you know, they shouldn't. So, actually, good job, officials.
I think that texter may refer to you as Vols Joe. I wonder how many of our listening audience refers to you as Vandy Joe and how many go Vols Joe.
Well, I thought Vols it was GB Joe. GB Joe, right? Vandy Joe and GB Joe.
GB Joe is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go GB Joe. The Boiler Up Nation. I mean, Stephanie White's mom like hates me and thinks I'm a despicable person now per her tweets.
Because
I said that there was a bad call.
She is your Hub Arkish. Stephanie White's mom is your Hub Arkish. Let's go back. Joe Rexro, no comment. Going to sip some coffee. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Logan texting in says, tap your brakes if you start sliding. Don't slam on them. Also, the people in Nashville that drive with their hazards on in the rain and snow drive me insane. This is coming from Logan on the text line.
Yeah. I agree on the tap the brakes. Sometimes, I mean, you have to use them, right? But that, yeah, just do not smash them. Driving with hazards, sometimes I don't. Like, you know, there's some value in that. I think especially in really bad thunderstorms, I put my hazards on sometimes just to have a little bit extra so someone doesn't sneak up on you and, you know, in the mid of that mess and tailgate you. But I guess it can be kind of annoying.
Hey, maybe this is the weather we'll get for the divisional round. I know everybody's talking about sunny Nashville coming up in the playoffs in the NFL, but this would be quite the environment for a home game Nissan Stadium divisional round of the playoffs. Big snow fest 2022. At Nissan Stadium.
What would the Titans prefer if they could choose the weather for the home playoff game? What would they do? What weather would they draw?
I don't think they'd mind playing in the snow with the way they like to play.
Still can't throw it all though necessarily, right? No. Now that may hurt your opponent more than you, but I don't know. Some teams would just be like, we just want conditions where we can execute. Right. And we feel like we're better than the other team.
Ben texting in says, that's all I want is for people to tap their brakes on Tannehill.
Oh, okay. Is Ben the King Tannehill hater on the text line?
Ben's been the King Tannehill hater on the text line for years. So to his credit, he's been very consistent in this regard. He's been doing this for over a year.
Tap their brakes with what? Like, who's out here saying Tannehill? I mean, last year, Tannehill had a case for the Pro Bowl. But who's out here, like, celebrating and having parades, festivals of lights, as Karski likes to say, for Tannehill? Hey, by the way, here's a funny one on the Karski front. So, talking to Keith Carter during assistant interviews the other day, and I asked him about Dylan Radins. And, you know, I just said, like, after he did the film, how did he grade out? And he mostly said very – you know, very positive, semi-glowing things about how Raiden's graded out in that game. Garcia comes and says, oh, so surely he's going to be pushing Questenberry for the starting job, huh? And Keith Carter actually laughed. And then Garcia's like, why are you laughing? It was pretty awesome. Kaharski's primary festivus grievance is that anyone would ever say anything good about Dylan Raiden's.
The gift that keeps on giving. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get into the Julio Jones angle of this heading into Sunday's matchup against Houston coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN The Game Nashville is your home for the College Football National Championship game, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown and Central Barbecue. Monday on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9. Tune in for the College Football National Championship as Alabama takes on Georgia. Kickoff set for 7 p.m. 312 Pizza Company is a family-owned and operated, bringing you a slice of Chicago to the Nashville area. They specialize in deep dish pizza, thin crust, and all things Chicago style. Plus, it's the perfect spot to catch the championship game coming up on Monday night. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Another fine use of Rex Road got run over by a reindeer from Michelle there. Her favorite song.
I had to.
Is this basically you hoping I die today? Is that
no,
is that
Joe? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I know you're going to be safe driving. I just thought because it's snowing, it would be a funny little song.
Every time Michelle plays this song, she's just gone for like 12 minutes, just straight up laughter, like Porth.
Yes.
By the way, yes. Has Porth's hyena laugh graced the offices of the score in Chicago yet?
I don't know. Maybe that's what he should do to Hub Arkish. Just get in there and that laugh.
Laugh in his face at his take. To say, hey, you know what I think of your take, Hub?
I can't wait till they experience that for the first time. I remember sitting in the studio and hearing him laugh like that. And I was like, my eyes got so big. I was like, oh, wow. It's the best thing ever.
It's kind of like, you know, a hyena from Lion King. So it's good stuff. That's all I have. That's all thoughts I have on that. Let's go to our text line. Driven by Wilson County. 615-737-1025. Jeff texting in says, many times with a rear wheel drive vehicle, when beginning to lose the rear end, simply letting off the gas pedal is all that's needed on snow for the vehicle to straighten itself out while keeping the wheel steering forward, while not even needing the brakes, which can make the problem even worse. This coming from Jeff on the text line. That is good advice from Jeff.
Well stated. Yes, well stated. Hopefully that pileup's not too bad on 40, and we don't have any more.
Joe, we spent a lot of time talking about the offense this week. I feel like some Titans fans, and I may dare I say most Titans fans, have kind of put Julio Jones out of sight, out of mind. Obviously been very disappointing this year. The hamstring injuries that have repeatedly come up with him. Obviously, last week he didn't play. He was on the COVID list. It's just been one thing after the other with Julio Jones this year, and he has not been productive save for a few moments in a few games here or there. He was back yesterday in a limited capacity on the practice field, still listed as a limited participant with a hamstring injury on the official injury report by the Titans. I think it's very important that he gets in there and that he plays this week against Houston. Like at some point, you got to see something out of Julio Jones, and he spent a lot of time not on the field this year. I know that a lot of Titans fans are just totally dismissing him at this point, which honestly, I'm about right there too. So I don't necessarily blame Titans fans for doing that. But as you've pointed out earlier this week, the need for a number two option at wide receiver is pretty darn high for this group. And I still feel like he's probably the best shot they have for somebody to actually come in and meet that expectation.
Yeah, I mean, he's still done some things at times this year that look like a, you know, pretty good starting receiver in the NFL. Maybe not a whole bunch that looks like what we remember of Julio Jones in Atlanta, but like a guy who can play in this league and, you know, physical. Obviously, he's got all the tools. He may not be as explosive in the hamstring issue as well documented, but if you look at this team as it's gearing up for the playoffs, I mean, you go through all the position groups, you know, you got the depth kind of back at inside linebacker, you know, the edge now, Dupree and everything's back there. The secondary is kind of all together. We finally saw the offensive line. Although, by the way, Keith Carter did point this out because I asked him about starting and finishing a game for the first time. Raidens did go into the game at the end, but like I said, okay, well, that's like kneeling, you know, the victory formation. You lose a yard rushing, but that was your choice. I mean, that was the first game where they didn't have to take someone out of the starting group. You got better depth at running back now. I mean, you got now Derrick Henry comes back, but Deontay Foreman is a viable option in the running game, even when Derrick Henry's back. So everything, it's really all kind of coming together. But to me, receiver, if you had a foursome of A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and Chester Rogers, I think you feel good about that. If that could be your quartet and you could be full go with those four guys, then I think you've got what you need. And I just think this is a big week for Julio Jones to be able to be out there, to be available, to play a whole game, and to keep working on stuff with Tannehill. As much as they've worked together and talked together and they're veterans, still think that there's this value in doing things together on Sundays. So I think that's an underrated part of this week for the Titans to try to get him going. Cause that, I think that position group is just lacks for something right now beyond AJ Brown, and Julio's the most likely guy to provide it.
I don't think there's any question about that. And it's one of those things too, where, you know, just look at how much the return of AJ Brown helped Ryan Tannehill, especially in the Niner game, obviously. I mean, it was obvious that was the big difference in that game, was getting AJ Brown back in there. And quite frankly, there's those where Tannehill looked way more confident because it was AJ Brown was the one he was throwing the ball to. Like, if Julio could get to a level where, you know, I don't think anybody's expecting him to be the Julio Jones from the Atlanta Falcons anymore. But if he could get to a level where he is a legitimate number two option in this league, which I still think if he's healthy, he can be a legitimate number two option in this league. I just wonder what having the two of them playing at those levels would do for Tannehill, not only in terms of his confidence, but production as well. I mean, you know, I know yards aren't everything. I thought Tannehill played really well for the most part on Sunday against Miami. I mean, they threw for 120 yards. I know they didn't have to throw for much more. In playoffs, you're going to have to throw for more than 120 yards if you want to get to the Super Bowl. It is what it is. So I just wonder, both from a confidence standpoint, but maybe even more importantly, just purely production, what that could do for Ryan Tannehill as they head into the playoffs to get that out of Julio Jones.
Yeah. Now, of course, 2 years ago, they got to the title game without having a throw for that. But that was also – and that was some extraordinary domination from Derrick Henry and his offensive line, yeah. As well as this offensive line has played this year. You know, that offensive line with Conklin at right tackle, the rest of the guys the same from now. But I don't think this group has done what that group did during that stretch. And then you still got the AFC title game, and you would have needed Tannehill to – throw for about 370 or whatever in that game to actually end up beating the Chiefs. So they're going to need it all working, no doubt about it. And I just, you know, with Julio Jones, it's obviously he was on the COVID list last game. It's a good thing to me that he had the hamstring setback, but then quickly came back. I think today's kind of an underrated little injury report too. Is he still limited, or was that just a Wednesday? Let's limit him and then work him in fully the rest of the week. You know, probably will tell you a little bit if it's just precautionary or if there's, again, something going on with the hammy.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Nashville Predators coach John Hines. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the LA Kings. We'll get to John Hines coming up on the other side. Referring a friend on FanDuel Sportsbook could be your ticket to Super Bowl 56. That's right. When you refer a friend on FanDuel Sportsbook, you'll be entered for a chance to win an all-expenses-paid trip to Super Bowl 56 for two. So don't miss FanDuel's biggest refer a friend offer ever. All you got to do is share your exclusive referral link right from the Sportsbook app. And once your friend places any bet of $10 or more, you'll both get $50 and will be entered into the Super Bowl sweepstakes. If you or a friend have been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. The app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. Maybe the Titans against the Texans this week on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you're new to FanDuel, you can also sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this season. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, refer a friend for your chance to win a trip to Super Bowl 56. 4-2. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Referred players must wager $10 or more within 28 days after signing up. Bonus issued is site credit and it's non-withdrawable and expires after 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. No purchase necessary for the Super Bowl ticket promotion. Super Bowl promotion closes on January 9th, 2022. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezebeck here with you on this snowy Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators head coach John Hines. John, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. I'm a little better out here in L.A., I think, weather-wise, than at home. I know you guys get snow. Kids had a snow day, and it's about 60 degrees and sunny here. So,
Well, you certainly lucked out there. I don't know. Like, have you experienced a snow day in Nashville before yet to this point, John? Because the grocery stores, really everything involved, it's just total chaos here, man.
Yeah, you know what? We had a couple last year where school got canceled and the kids were home. And you know, it's funny just coming from a climate that had a little bit more snow and things like that. That it is definitely Mayday when the snow comes in Nashville. But it's great because that means the weather's more often than not a lot better than snow.
There's no question about that. That is absolutely true. So, John, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Obviously, big win for your group the other night in Vegas. Back at it tonight against LA. I want to talk to you about Philip Forsberg because obviously 17 goals, 25 games. He is playing really well right now offensively. What do you like personally, just from your vantage point, about the way that Forsberg is kind of attacking the game right now?
Well, really, it's two areas. I mean, Philip, obviously, we all know the skill and the ability to score, but there's two areas that have been, you know, I think pretty consistent for him lately. Is his competitiveness and using his power has been pretty consistent in his game. Like I know he's gone on streaks before, and he gets hot. And sometimes he gets cold, but I think there's a lot of substance to his game where he's playing more physical. He's a power first guy. He's skating, and I think the second part of it is he's strung together. This was some of the things we've talked to him about is reliability and durability. You know, you have to be a highly talented player, but it's got to be the same game every night. And whether you score or whether you don't score, you have to be playing at a level that you're going to help the team win. And I think he's doing that. He's certainly doing that by the way he's competing. Obviously, he's doing it by the way he's scoring. But I think there's a lot of substance to his game right now.
Well, and John, you know, we don't always know the exact details on, like, various injuries. But it seems like, you know, like sometimes players get the knock of, injury prone, right? And then you always talk about durability. It's a very physical, tough game in this league especially. Like, do you look – him as a guy who you worry about stuff like that, or just more like a guy who's had some bad luck at various points in the past couple of years?
I think it's more luck. Like when you look at him physically, I mean, he is in really good shape. I mean, he's really well built. He takes care of himself. He gets better every summer. His maintenance routines during the season. His pregame warm-ups, pre-practice warm-ups, like he's very thorough in the way that he takes care of himself off the ice. And he's a he's a genetically gifted kid that does work hard. Like he works in the weight room. He's in good shape. I think when he looks at some of the injuries he's had, they're not necessarily ones that are preventable. Like it's not a lot of, like tears, strains, things that you could look at and say maybe he's just a little bit injury prone. He's got to take care of himself a little bit better. I think some of the injuries that he's had, at least in my time here, were really not preventable, and I think a little bit of bad luck for him.
John Hines on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And John, I just continued to be impressed with Tanner Jeannot, and I know you've talked a lot about Tanner Jeannot this year and the different things that he does and why he's been as successful as he has. I'm just wondering, from your standpoint, when you look around the league, how rare is his skill set in terms of the physicality he brings to the table, the tenacity, and then as we're starting to find out, I think with each passing game, the offensive ability he brings to the table as well. How unique of a player is Tanner in your mind?
Yeah, Robbie, it's actually a good point because we were talking about it the other night, just as a staff that, you know, it's hard to find that combination. You know, it's hard to find a guy with his size, strength, speed, and power that is as tough as he is physically, whether that's hitting or in the confrontations he gets in. But at the same time, he's got good hockey sense. Like, he's a smart player. So he doesn't just rely on his physical attributes and his competitiveness. He's a smart guy, and he's got offensive skill. So, you know, it's tough to find. And one of the things that we had talked about as a staff prior to the expansion draft and in the summer was, you know, and you give David a lot of credit. Like, this is a guy that fits the style we want to be able to play. We want to build a harder team to play against. We want to try to build a team over the course of the next couple of years here that can really compete in the playoffs. Get in the playoffs and B, compete in the playoffs and win.
you know, I think when you look around the league, there's got to be, you got to have a team full of competitive guys. There's got to be a different mix of guys within your lineup. You know, size and competitiveness is a bit of a factor when you look at the teams that really are having success. And he fits that mold. And that's, you know, one of the big reasons why he was protected in the expansion draft, was because you can see the upside, but he's the character of person and style of player that has the attributes that, you know, we think can really help our team continue to grow.
John, when things are going well overall for a team, as they are for your team, And it just seems like you guys have found consistency. There's a real, I don't know if you want to say you're on a roll, but obviously it's you guys are playing while you're winning. As a coach, like, do you ever get worried? Like, you look around, like, okay, what am I? Is there complacency? Like, I know some coaches are always, you know, like, worried, looking around the corner at, like, okay, are we getting too satisfied with winning, or whatever the case may be? Like, how do you handle that as a coach when things are going so well?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I mean, you're always concerned about that as a coach. You're trying to make sure that, you know, you're helping your team continue to get better. But I think right now with our team, where it's at this stage in the season, is I don't see complacency within the group. I see guys building, continuing to build camaraderie, a strong confidence in who they are as individuals and what our team is. We're still building the identity of our team. One of the things we constantly talk with them about is we have to, as the league continues to get harder and change as the season goes on, the team has to continue to do that. We have to continue to develop our game, whether it's more things we can do in the offensive zone, other things we can do better defensively, you know, that we think are going to continue to grow. And that's the mindset we've had with our guys, that it really hasn't been about the wins and the losses. It's been about how do we continue to have success. But really, every day they come in, it's about, hey, this is how we can grow our game, and these are areas we want to continue to get better. And right now, at this stage in the season, the guys are hungry. I don't see satisfaction with winning. The competitiveness is there. Guys are willing to sacrifice, you know, their bodies in the games with shot blocks and hits. And we're playing a real connected team game right now. And I think our job as coaches is to present to the players every day, here's areas that need to be improved, and here's areas we're doing real well, and we got to continue to get better.
John, obviously, you know, when people around the league talk about your defense corps, Ekholm and Yossi are the two names that come to mind for most people, and we know why. Obviously, those guys deserve all the accolades that they get. I'm curious, from your vantage point, how you viewed Borowiecki and Benning this year, because just from my view watching them, they've been both so solid and so consistent on a nightly basis. What have been your thoughts on the way those two in particular have played?
Well, I think you're exactly right. With Boro and Benning, I mean, they've, you know, two of the reasons I think, you know, when we did sign them, it was we wanted to be a tougher team to play against, and we really liked the attributes that those guys brought on and off the ice, just the type of people that they are. I mean, these guys are, they're the ultimate teammates. They do all the thankless jobs in the game. You know, they block shots, they play hard minutes, they get defensive zone starts, they have to penalty kill. You know, you look at the physicality that both players play with. You know, Boro, you know, he gets into fights. I mean, these guys are like glue guys of a team. And, you know, they've been very, very consistent for us. You know, the guys love them. They rally around them. They play the game the right way. And they've been a big factor. You know, you do have the Yossis and the Ekholms on the decor and some of the other guys. But I think the leadership, the veteran presence, and how those guys play and what they mean to the core of the team is something that's really helped us, you know, I think, get to the identity we want to get to, and those guys have been a real solid pair for us.
Kind of clear, John, even if it wasn't clear, you know, at the end of last season, that, you know, UC Saros was not just on some hot streak. I mean, this is what he is as a goaltender, or at least that appears that way from our view. From your perspective, when did you know that? When did you feel like you knew who he was as a goaltender?
You know, Juice has been able to, it's been a couple different segments. I'd say, if you remember when he first came in January, we were up and down a little bit. And then right before the pandemic, Juice started to take over the role a bit. I think we had won four or five straight. and he had played in those games, and you saw pockets there. And then we went into the bubble, and you saw some pockets with him there. And then really the second half of last year, you know, I think the transition really came in where he had kind of, now he had grasped the role of the starter, and Pex was kind of, you know, moving on a bit, and you could see the second half of last year when he came back off the injury, and we went on that run later, and you saw he performed in the playoffs. Then you saw, okay, this is, you know, you saw pockets of it, but now you see the guy that is what he is. And I agree with you, you know, in the sense that, I mean, and then knowing him as the player, you know, when you talk to our goalie coach, Benny Vanderklok, with him, I mean, the way that this guy practices and takes care of himself off the ice and studies the game and improves himself, like, he's the real deal on and off the ice.
Well, John, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck tonight against the Kings, and enjoy some of that California sunshine today while we're all dealing with the snow. We appreciate you, my man.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. Drive safe in the snow there.
Absolutely, we will. John Hines, Predators head coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what John Hines had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's as the neighborhood bar and restaurant to catch the next Preds game. Jasper's is located on West End Avenue and offers a fun atmosphere with a game room, TVs, and a large bar and lounge area. Plus, they offer free parking. That's right, free parking on West End. We know what a big deal that is, and offer specials every Preds game day, including $10 smash burgers and $3 bottled domestics as well. So come on down to Jasper's next game day for happy hour every single weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. and for 2-for-1 beers all day on Sundays. Just tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you. This week we have a triple header of NFL action, starting with the Cowboys versus the Eagles at 7:15, coming up on Saturday on ESPN 94.9. Sunday, make sure you're tuning in at 3:25 for the Seahawks and the Cardinals on 102.5 The Game, and the Niners taking on the Rams on ESPN 94.9. NFL games of the week on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. We are taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Thanks to John Hines for joining us in the last segment. Jim, texting in, says, always great interviews with John Hines. Every time you have him on, I want to send the interview to Vrabel to show him how it should be done. This is coming from Jim on the text line.
Wow, shade at Vrabel. I mean, that's just, you know,
I like it.
Vrabel's sitting there minding his own business, and he gets a stray shot off an interview with John Hines.
His burner better watch out.
Not going to be
there
happy.
I was about to say, there could be burner accounts that take place later.
you're going to get torched on Twitter by one of his burners.
But come on, Vrabel's got some good one-liners.
Sure. I mean, Vrabel, you know, here and there, Vrabel will delve into something, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot of things about the traditional press conference and the questions that come regularly that he pretty much is just going to just, you know, swat away left and right, you know?
Probably not.
There you go.
The timing on that was impeccable.
Yeah, that was. I just anticipated that, Rob. We said it right at the same time.
That was good stuff. So, Joe, we talked about this a little bit earlier. The Predators are in first place in the Central Division, taking on LA tonight. We'll see if they can get a win on the road. I almost called it Staples Center. I guess it's not Staples Center anymore with all
crypto. Was it crypto?
Cryptocurrency. Yeah.
It's kind of weird. But we'll see if they can get a win on the road tonight. The question I threw out there earlier to you that I'm interested to see what the listeners have to say as well is, do you believe this team has what it takes to make a deep playoff run? Like, do you believe this team can be a legitimate contender in the Western Conference? They're in first place. They got five guys right now hovering around a point per game pace with Johansson, Forsberg, Duchesne, Granlund, and Josi. You just talked to John Hines about their goaltender. He's playing pretty well. I mean, there's a lot of boxes that you can check right now for this Predators team that I think you feel good about. Now, are they Colorado or Vegas or anything like that? Probably not. But I think you feel pretty good about a lot of what you've seen from this group. You know, here we are. It's not like this is November 15th. We're on January the 5th right now. Or excuse me, January the 6th. And they're in first place in the Central Division. So, you know, that's turning my head to say, all right, I mean, the more they play like this and the more time that goes by, they are certainly starting to look more and more like they may be contenders in the Western Conference.
Yeah, look, I think if the, you know, one thing that we've seen with the Preds in past playoffs, and we were talking earlier about some of their recent, you know, failures. I mean, they've had, well, I mean, the Dallas series was a complete failure, you know, offensively. Yes. But having another line, you know, having a second line that could be, you know, dangerous. I mean, I feel like if they have two lines they feel really good about when they go into the postseason, that would be huge. And that means that, like, these you mentioned it earlier, five guys right now with the production of pace that they're on, if not unprecedented, very rare in the history of this franchise, is that going to continue? Is that going to be the case going into the postseason? Everything gets tougher. The space gets, you know, tighter in the postseason. But also, they are also built more to play that way and do that to opponents. So I can't sit here and say that I think of them as a contender, but also the nature of this tournament, there have been way crazier things than this team as we know them today doing major damage in that tournament.
Yeah, and that's the part of this is so difficult to figure out, because I think so much of what happens in the Stanley Cup playoffs is matchup based. Like, you know, what side of the bracket do you draw? If you get to the second round, are you taking on Colorado? Like, that's a, you know, that's a big question in this thing too. Like, first off, I think we found out the last couple of years, as good as Colorado is, and I think they're very good, I think they've got elite players at a lot of positions, they're not unbeatable in the playoffs. I think we found that out the last couple of years. So, you know, that's what makes, I think, this playoff in this sport so much different, is there's just so many things that go into it. And when you have a goaltender like the Predators have, you give yourself a chance. And Saros, I think you said it best with Saros, or with Hines in the last segment. The sample size with him now is large enough to where it's not a fluke. I mean, the guy is an elite goaltender. He's got a .927 save percentage this year, a goals against of .223. I mean, .927 is a darn good save percentage. And quite frankly, there have been some games where he got left out to dry, and it shouldn't have been that way, and he made those saves anyway. And he has been playing at an elite, elite level for almost a calendar year now at this point. And you got to feel pretty good about that if you're the Predators. So having said that, you got your goaltender playing that way. I really like the six they have on defense if they can stay healthy. And your top players at forward are playing like your top players. I mean, that you're talking about a formula that's going just about as well as you could probably hope for if you're the Predators at this point. And to your point, you look down this lineup, like, I don't know that there's anybody right now playing just totally out of your mind where you're like, oh boy, what happens if so-and-so's play comes back down to earth? Like Forsberg, I guess you could make that argument from a goal production standpoint. But like John Hines said in the last segment, I like a lot of what Philip Forsberg's doing out there, even besides the goals.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of gently dunked on the maybe a nice finger roll on the whole, you know, he's on a heater and he's about to be on a opposite of a heater because of the physicality. And I mean, I tried to ask injury question, you know, about Forsberg. He sort of shed some light on that. Like, you know, it's more like bad luck type injuries they feel. I think one guy that, because, you know, look, I just think the way Granlund plays is he is. Like, I expect Granlund to be what he has been. I don't think Johansson stuff is fluky. I do think, I mean, look, Forsberg, he's just been streaky his whole career. So I have to think that there's going to be some dry spells. The guy that I do think, and like you said earlier, you know, you missed time. He missed time, then they missed time and all that stuff. Deshane getting one in the back of the net would be good. I mean, I'm not saying I doubt what Deshane is. I think Deshane has proved a lot this year. This play, but that's a guy I look at and say, okay, you want that to continue because it's still more than not here in Nashville. It hasn't been that way. in his entire time. If you tell me right now that he doesn't have to keep up the exact pace, but if that he keeps up a good pace and plays like he's playing all year, then I think this team's going to be in a good position, and we'll absolutely have a chance to do damage.
Joe Rexroad, we hope that you're very careful and very safe coming back from Knoxville today on your way back to Nashville. I'm sure you are very much looking forward to the drive you're about to embark on.
Yeah, really, really can't wait. Looking forward.
Safe drive, Joe, please.
I'll text you guys from inside a snow squall in Crossville.
Just your heavy coat on. It's some tent somewhere. The good stuff.
No phone charger. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Just a great combo. We hope everybody is safe out there today. If you don't have to be on the road, please don't be. And just hang out with us all day long here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's going to do it for us here today. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.